Good evening, everyone. How's everyone doing today? Welcome to Thomas Village Baptist Church, and we're going to get going here, and we're going to sing to start off number 305, I Have Decided to Follow Jesus. We don't have any words but on the screen, but everyone knows this one, so...
to see all of you tonight. So thankful to be with you, and how blessed we are to be able to get out and spend time with one another, but most importantly, come together to worship the Lord. Tonight we're going to be in Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs chapter 2. There's some key words that we're going to be using a lot through this study, and so I've kindly put some of these words. I left one off. No way we're going to get all the way through this chapter tonight, but prayerfully we'll take a little time just to show. I'll show you how I kind of study Scripture, and if you don't have a plan the way you study Scripture, then maybe you can take this one. But before we get into that, this is our Wednesday midweek prayer meeting, and we want to focus on prayer, and God willing, we'll be getting back to our prayer services on a monthly basis again, as well as our business meetings. But before we do go into the time of prayer meeting, do we have any words of praise tonight? Anyone have? Yes, sister. Praise the Lord. Got a productive day in. Amen. Also, I want to tell everybody on Facebook, it's good to be with you tonight. Thankful you're with us, and to remind all of you, there's no one that loves you like Jesus, no one that's done so much for you as Jesus, and he's just a breath away. If you'll just speak his name, he'll respond. as a child, as a father does to a child. Now, if you don't know him, you need to get the relationship going. The Bible teaches that the Bible doesn't hear the prayers of sinners or of an unsaved person. And you say, well, I've had my prayers answered. Well, how do you know you're the only one praying that prayer? And that's what the Bible teaches us, that there's one prayer that the Lord hears from the lost, and that is the repentance prayer. And he hears the voices of his children. And maybe God's just being merciful. I mean, he is a merciful and a loving God, and who's to say that he doesn't just shine favor on... The Bible says he lets it rain on the just and the unjust, so showers of blessings will fall. Anyone else got a word of praise or testimony tonight? I just praise the Lord for another day, a blessings day. Was able to spend about an hour with Brother Paul Arwood today. I know he had to think he was kindly out of the woods. It's been since the beginning of the new year, he's been dealing with health problems, and he got all that took care of in his brain and all that and was doing good, but the tendonitis in his knee just won't go away. They say that it's in the tendon that stretches across the kneecap, and so every time he moves it, whether it's bending it back or forward, it's rubbing, and there seems to be some spurs there as well. And so they've told him that no shots or anything like that, what is it, the rooster combs and all that, they'll shoot into you. They say it won't really do him any good. They've got him on some medications trying to get rid of it. But next week, be praying for him. Next week he goes back to Charlottesville for his follow-up, for his surgery. And so he's really wanting to make sure that he can get there to get that behind him and make sure that that's in his rearview mirror for now. So just continue to pray for him. Any other praise reports before we move into our prayer needs tonight? Unable to give the corona numbers right now for the state and the nation. Our computer's down again here. Our internet's down. Did you get back up? Well, I didn't know if you was recording off something else. Okay, well, it wasn't up. It is now. But anyway, we do know that numbers are rising around us. I mean, we that is a given right now. And so, but basically, I mean, this thing's here to stay, and we're either going to get it or either we're going to get the vaccine to it. One way or another, we're going to have the antibody in us so that society can move back to a normal what we had before. I mean, that's, you know, not being mean or being trying to speak ill or anything like that, but that's just the nature of where it's at. You know, that's what's got to happen. So I want to pray for that. But at the same time, while numbers are rising, the mortality rate is maintaining or actually going the other way as the doctors figure out how to treat and deal with it. So we give God the praise for that. Lynn Mullins. That name sounds very familiar. Got a bunch on the prayer list tonight. So let me read off our prayer needs. Number one, we always, utmost on the top of the list, must be the lost. If we ever lose sight of the most and the greatest need of healing in our world, and that is spiritual healing, that we be saved from our sins. And then those that are backslidden, marriages, those that are depressed. I was texting with someone today about depression. We all might have our own triggers, but a lot of people are in depression for some reason or another right now, whether it be physical, emotional situations, family situations. And some, there's no real reason for it. You're just depressed. I mean, that is, and that's one of the most miserable, when everything around you looks pretty good, but you just are depressed. There's no explanation. I want to continue to lift up Brother Tommy Tester, Miss Jeanette Carter, Kent Smith. How is Brother Kent doing, Brother Otis?
He's had some pretty good days.
Amen. We're going to keep praying. Amen. We want to remember June Early.
friend of our church members that fell. I want to remember Jim Lamb, that is Renee Chesser's father. Kaylee Roberts, a young girl that's fallen and broke her arm today, going to have some other procedures there. Want to pray for Nicholas Patrick, Brother Wayne, Nolan Hensley, Eddie Hood. He's in the hospital right now on the bent. Not sure. I was told two different things. One said pneumonia, another said COVID. But 50 years old, around that age, a younger man, but want to pray for him. Jill Dysart, Merle Edwards, Wilma Daniels for her back, and Dan Daniels' arm, Gina Franks, Mary Snodgrass, Sheila Stanley, Stacy and Derek Osborne with the unborn triplets, Cindy Osborne. I've been texting back and through with Sister Ruth, and they've got some more test results back, and just the issues with her blood, the thickening in her blood and things like that. They're asking for continued prayer there. Faye Hill, Sister Ruth Roten, Brother Paul and Becky Hayes, Levi Lynn, Donnie Fields, Hazel Stanley, Sister Jeanette Carter, Sister Peggy Stanley, Sister Alma Bowen, Sister Lottie Johnson, the Lynn Mullins family, Liza Fletcher, Henrietta Roach, Bobby and June Jesse, Margaret and Chet Wheeler, Wilma Jean Tomlinson, Miss Wilma Williams, Linda Jackson, the Shoops, Ryan Luke, and then our upcoming elections, and all of those that's on the front lines. So do we have any other prayer needs tonight? Brenda Brown, I called her name out yesterday in prayer meeting. We had a wonderful prayer meeting yesterday. That was one I made sure that we called out. Also, pray for my friend Jamie that y'all met this weekend. Pray for my daddy and physical needs, and my mom as well, but she deals with fibromyalgia and some other stuff like that as well. So, yes, ma'am. I know he was going to Arkansas. He was making some miles this week. Anyone else? We will. That's sad. Cleveland. Was you saying one, Brother Otis? As you're considering some of your prayer needs, and if it's on your heart, just say it. Don't forget, we are doing Sunday night services now, and we'll make sure that the pews are sanitized and all that between every service. We're doing our best to make sure that everything is sprayed down and took care of. Also, this Sunday, July 12th, is going to be our graduate Sunday, and so we will be recognizing the graduates as well as all of the Rycrove senior class. But want to remind you, and we posted this on Facebook today, but if you would like to give a card or something to one of the graduates or all of the graduates, depending, we're going to try to have a section or a box or something for them that they can receive, because usually we would have the reception for them afterwards. But with the COVID situation, we're not going to be doing that this year. But we don't want to deprive you of the opportunity. And if you're like me, out of sight, out of mind lots of times, and not intentional, but it just happens. And so want to make that open to you. Also, praise report beginning next Wednesday night. They're announcing it tonight to our youth, and so we'll go ahead and announce it. Beginning next Wednesday night at 6:30, our youth is going to begin to meet at the Chapman's house on Wednesday nights, and that way they'll be back with some fellowship and some things like that. I think a lot of it will be outside so that there can be room out there. Going to do the best to keep it below 10. They run around 7, 6 to 8, I think, right now. But I just say that if there's a Sunday school teacher or someone else that would like to do that on a weekly, monthly, bi-monthly basis, I just say, here's to you. Go ahead and do it, you know. The original church was in the house, so there's nothing wrong with that. And then we will continue at least till July. I know the numbers are beginning to decrease a little bit, but at least till the end of July, we're going to continue with the outdoors service on Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. So, yeah, indoor for sure. Some folks, ma'am. Somebody look that up on Facebook. We've got Katie, Dakota, and Seth. Those are our Rye Cove seniors. And then, oh, okay. Hannah and Seth's sister. Kayla, they graduate. Those are college graduates. I know that. Hold on, let me look it up for you. I'll give you the down low here real quick. Let's see. Yeah, there's 7 or 8 of them. Look at there. There's me right now. Bailey Nash from Lehigh. Maximus Miller from Gate City. Katie Bledsoe from Rye Cove. Seth Chambers from Rye Cove. Caleb Richardson from Mountain Empire Community. Dakota Hartsock from Southwest Virginia Community. Sister Kayla Chambers from Liberty University. And then Sister Hannah Goins from Radford. So, and praise God, Sister Hannah's got her a job lined up and everything. She'd be working in the school system. So, to God be the glory for that. Anyone else tonight? All right, Brother Ken, do you mind coming and leading us in these times of prayer after a few moments of silence? If you'd like to come to the altar, you're more than welcome. If you'd like to pray aloud, you're more than welcome to do that as well. And then after a few moments of silence, Brother Ken will lead us into prayer over these prayer needs and all that's ahead of us.
Father God, as we just humbly bow, I just want to thank you again for another opportunity to be in your house amongst your people. And just let us never forget all the blessings and mercies you've bestowed upon us. And we just thank you so much for them. We've got a lot of praise reports and prayer needs that are lifted up, and I would like to wish you would consider them and put your blessing upon them. Just be with us as we walk through our daily life with you, and just forgive us of our sins and trespasses. Be with the leaders of our nation that they may make wise, godly decisions that would honor you. And just be with us as we go about our daily walk with you. And we just thank you so much. I'm going to ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Also, thank you for your prayers for me this week. We're going pretty good, but pray for my daughter by the end of this week. She's probably going to have a driver's license. So that means not only do I have to buy her a car, I have to let her go out by herself in it. And that's, I don't mind paying for the car. It's just me not being able to have my alarms around her, protecting her and all that, you know. But anybody got a testimony tonight? I just wanted to open that up. Anybody just want to testify and tell how good God's been to you or anything like that? Don't want to limit or put the Holy Spirit on the backside by a plan that I might have made. Amen. I don't know how people make it. I don't know how to get out of bed of a morning, sister. I just don't don't see a point in it, you know. Anyone else tonight? All right, what we'll do is, as we've been doing, we'll be in chapter 2, and I'm going to read it out of the King James Version, and then we'll break our things down, and we'll use the Christian Standard for that. But before we do, I just want us to look at this these definitions. And basically, these are key words that you're going to find from chapter 1 all the way to chapter 31. I want us to have a pretty well grasp of these definitions, because if we understand these words in the same manner and in the same way, then that means we're learning in the same fashion. And so I want us to, the first one is knowledge. And knowledge is the awareness and the retaining of foundational truth. Basically, it would be the head part of learning, you know, that you have it in your mind. We know that there are certain formulas. Addition, you add to. Subtraction, you take away. Multiplication, you double by whatever you multiply whatever the number is. You know, there are certain formulas. And so in the formula, which is wisdom, you must begin with the truth, with knowledge, with the mental capacity to be aware of and retain foundational, or we could call them godly truths. And specifically, when we say the retention and awareness of foundational truth, it is pertaining to God, His ways, what He values as right and what He deems as good, and then on the reverse, what He seems as evil and what He sees and defines as wrong. And so then we move on to understanding. Understanding is the willingness and the ability to take knowledge, foundational truth, and apply it properly while living one's life in the proper situations and circumstances. Meaning that we take the mental aspect, our knowledge, and we take it and we recognize where to use it, how to use it, and then we're willing to use it as we live from day to day. And so, wisdom is the knowledge of fundamental truth, and then taking that knowledge and understanding, using that wisely as wisdom as we live our daily lives. Or in short, wisdom is when godly knowledge is applied to our life by godly understanding, or basically living it out. And then I want you to have this piece of paper to use, but I also want, here's another word I want you to put on it, and that is discern. And you can also use this definition for discretion as well as we're studying this one. Discern, discernment, discretion. Whatever those three words there, and this is going to be the basic idea that we're going to work with that, is to recognize the situation and the circumstances. To recognize the situation and circumstances around you, and then the proper action in those circumstances and situation. Because it does you no good to recognize the situation if you don't know how, or if you're not willing to apply the proper actions in those situations. And we're going to talk a little bit about that tonight. So, you know, I like to do studies. I'm not a great teacher. I feel like God's called me to be a preacher, but I want to be a teacher, and so I try to learn how and try to do better. So that's what we're trying to do tonight. But let's look at Proverbs chapter 2, beginning in verse 1, and we'll get as far, I think we'll get about halfway through this tonight. Are you there? All right. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yes, if thou criest after knowledge and lifts up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then shall thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler or a shield to them that walk uprightly. He keeps the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. When wisdom entereth into thine heart and knowledge is pleasant into thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaks forward things, who leaves the path of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoices to do evil and delights in the forwardness of the wicked, whose ways are crooked and they forward in their paths, to deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger which flattereth with her lips, which forsaketh the guide of her youth and forgetteth the covenant of her God. For her house inclines unto death and her paths unto the dead. None that go unto her return again, neither take they hold of the paths of life, that thou mayest walk in the way of good men and keep the paths of righteous, of the righteous. For the upright shall dwell in the land, and the perfect shall remain in it. But the wicked shall be cut off from the earth, and the transgressor shall be rooted out of it. And may God add the blessings to his scripture and provide understanding to his people. But a proverb is simply a concise but brief statement that usually imparts general advice and wisdom. Now we know and we are told in Proverbs chapter 1 verse 1 that the book of Proverbs was mostly written and compiled by the wisest of all men. In 1 Kings chapter 3 verses 10 through 12 we're told that Solomon, the son of David and Bathsheba, King Solomon, is the wisest up to that point and is the would be the wisest after that point. And when we look at the book of Proverbs, we can basically break down the wisdom that we find there into three categories, overall categories. That is general wisdom, or wisdom that is good for everybody in any many different situations. It is still a benefit to us. Then there is the ruler's wisdom, or basic insight into leadership, business, and government officials. And then thirdly, there is the parent and child wisdom, how a parent can be a godly parent and a wise parent, but then vice versa, how to be a godly child or a wise child. And the greatest of all wisdom is found early in this book and is declared by Solomon in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. It says this, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and discipline." But the truth there, that main truth, that foundational truth, that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Elsewhere it's said to be the beginning of knowledge. But basically, if our life is to be successful, and we're going to talk about what the meaning of success is tonight as well. If it's to be blessed, not that we're all going to be successful in the eyes of the world, but we are to base it on this scripture. If I was going to break down tonight chapter 2 into one of the three categories, I guess it would be general wisdom. Because what we're going to read here, man, woman, boy, or girl, if we apply this to our life, then praise God, we're going to be a wise individual. However, this chapter, just as chapter 1 was, remember we said that Proverbs are usually concise but short. And as we've seen in chapter 1 and in here in chapter 2, instead of just being a one-sentence type bullet point thing, we have paragraphs here. They stretch out. But usually it's one-to-one, very, very short. But this, because chapter 2 is not a bullet point type of situation, but it's a more paragraph situation, then we need to break down those paragraphs. And being able to study and recognize the general truth, basically what we've got to do is in each paragraph we have to find the overall truth, the overall topic, and then we break it down to see the points that build that overall topic. You understand what I'm saying? You know, if I say God is good, then I'm going to produce evidence. God saved me through his son, Jesus Christ. God has given me this life. He's given me eternal life. He's given me my wife. He's given me this church. You see, what I did was I presented a general topic. God is good. That's the truth I want you to know. And all those next things were evidence to that truth. They build up that truth. And that's what we find when we're trying to break down and we're trying to study and you're trying to do good, solid Bible study, not just taking a verse and pulling it out and trying to say what it means. What you do is you try to break down the whole that's there. There's a general truth in anything that we read. Now, it might affect you in many different ways. God might use it to draw you to a different understanding and to a place of deeper relationship with Him. But I promise you, every passage of Scripture has one truth in it. See, that's where we get into trouble when Joe Blow defines it this way and then John Smith defines it another way. You know, and then they say, well, I just think to me it means this. And to another one, it means that. Well, it don't matter what it means to you, because it matters what it meant when God breathed this Scripture. And that's what we have to stand on. And again, I understand it can affect us in different ways. God uses His Word, just like we've been studying these familiar passages on Sundays, but we're seeing things in them that we've never seen before, but they're still, the truth is, what is it? That Jesus is Master and Savior. What we've seen is we've seen that He has control over the natural and He has control over the supernatural. What does that mean? That Jesus was not only 100% man, but He was 100% God. You see how those we've got those truths, but then we have to have the evidence to stand on those truths. And so tonight what we're going to do is I know we're going to be able to get through the first two paragraphs. I just don't know about the three. And so here's the thing. My goal is to get through the third. And then I'm going to take it that in your private study time, Bible time, and meditation time, those next two, you're going to get it. This is how I would break it down. And basically, I'm not breaking this down. These are how other scholars, now they may vary in one verse or so in it, but basically this is how the paragraphs are broke down. First paragraph would be verses 1 through 5. Second paragraph would be verses 6 through 9. The third paragraph would be verses 10 through 15. The fourth paragraph would be verses 16 through 19. And then the last paragraph would be verses 20 through 22. And then you could break that down into something bigger. Basically, verses 1 through 9 is one topic. And then verses 10 through 15 kind of deal with another topic. But we won't get that deep tonight. Okay, any questions as we move on? All right, let's go to paragraph number 1, Proverbs 2, verses 1 through 5 out of the Christian Standard. My son, if you accept my commandments within you, listen closely to the wisdom and direct your heart to understanding. Furthermore, if you call out for insight and lift up your voice to understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it like hidden treasure, then you will understand the knowledge of God. Normally, like I said, we would break it down. When you look at Scripture, one way you can kind of break it down is look for periods, question marks, and exclamation points, because those are breakdown sentences. And you know, sentences they're called sentences, and they end because they deliver a complete idea. You know, you say it, period, and that's that idea, and then it moves on to another idea. It may relate back, that's fine. But here's the problem with verses 1 through 5. I want you to look in that, and I want you to tell me how many periods, exclamation points, or question marks you see there. Now, not commas or semicolons or anything like that. How many periods do you see there? And where does it come? At the end of verse 5. If there's ever been a run-on sentence, this is a run-on sentence. And so what we have to do here is we've got to kindly just do our best to break it down through our understanding. So let's start with the first couple of words. It says, my son, if you accept. So just by that passage, just by those five words, we can understand one thing. that a parent, specifically the father, is offering something to his child. The father wants the child to have something. Amen? We can understand that. We can see that. And so as we see this, and the father is trying to get it, these things that provides his child something, the father, although he wants the child to have it, cannot make his child receive it. Right? He's saying, if, conditional, if you do this. But then there's, if you don't do this, right? There's the opposite side. Now, we know that that's the way it is with God the Father. God the Father has a desire for us. God the Father has a will for our life. But let's see here what it is that the Father wants the child to accept. He says, if you accept my what? My commandments with you. Really what we could do is we could put a period right there, because that would be a complete idea. Then we could start again. We could say this. If you listen closely in wisdom, period. If you direct your heart to understanding. Furthermore, or on top of these three things, accepting my commandments, listening closely to wisdom, and directing your heart to understanding, there's three things that he wants his child to grab hold of, at least those things. If you call out for insight, if you lift up your voice to understanding, if you seek, this one's a little bit different here. This shows an action here more than receiving something. Here he's telling him to do something. He's saying, if you seek it like silver and search for it like hidden treasures. Now still, what is that it? Do we know what that it is up to this point? No. But now we do, because of the next verse or the next passage. Then you will understand the knowledge of God. How does it put it in the King James Version? Then you will understand the fear of the Lord. Isn't that the most important thing? Don't that sound familiar? If we jump back over to chapter 1, verse 7, where that before he gets into any other type of wisdom, he basically says, this is what everyone needs. If anybody's to be a wise man, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And so he lays all that out there, and he's saying, hey, it is the wisdom of God. The it is the understanding of God. The it is the knowledge of God. Wisdom, understanding equals, or knowledge plus knowledge plus understanding equals wisdom. Amen. That's how it goes. That's why. See, I didn't give you that paper for you. I gave you that paper for me, so you can rightly define what I'm trying to say up here to you. So he says this. So we understand what's the topic. The Father wants us to have fear and knowledge of God. That is the it. That's what. The scholar, that's what the whole book is about. Remember, it's the whole book's about wisdom. So when in doubt, always fall back on wisdom if you don't know the answer. But that's what it is. And look what he says, okay? So now we can go back up and we can see that the father's trying to get us to do accept something. But look there in verse 4. He says, okay, if we want this wisdom, if we want this knowledge, if we want the fear of the Lord, then what do we have to do? First off, we have to seek it like silver, or one thing we have to do is to seek for it like silver and to search for it like hidden treasure. But we are instructed to do something. God is not just going to unscrew our heads, and I know you've heard this before. God does not just unscrew the top of your head, open up to your brain, and then pour out knowledge and pour out wisdom of Scripture or anything like that. No, now He does give us the person of the Holy Spirit. And that gives us the ability to understand godliness, to understand heavenly wisdom, because as we're told in 1 Corinthians, no man understands the mind of God, but only God Himself. That's why we need to have the person of the Holy Spirit. The word seek here, it means to make an effort to find the location, to find where it's at. How many of you have ever lost a piece of expensive jewelry? You will flip the house upside down and your car upside down. It may not even be expensive. It don't have to be expensive. It just has to be something important to you. And you will flip that house upside down. Notice it says not only are you to make an effort to find it, but it says you got to search for it. The search here means to have a plan of action to locate it. I mean, you're to do what you can to get information about the object, which might give you an idea where the object is located. You don't just go about it willy-nilly. You go about it. What? You know what the hatest question is when you lose something? Well, where'd you last have it? When was the last time you had it? If I knew that, I wouldn't have to ask you nothing, would I? I don't need to talk to you, so don't talk to me because you're going to get smacked. You keep saying stuff like that. But that's good because what are you doing? You're making a plan. I do remember having it here, so what did I do after that? Between that point and now, where have I been? Because I'm going to plan on going back to those stations, and maybe I've left it there. It means if we're going to, like what did he want us to do, my son? If you accept, the word accept there means to receive or to lay your hands on, to grasp hold. So if we're going to grasp hold of knowledge, understanding, true wisdom, then we're going to have to make an effort to get it. We're going to have a plan on how we're going to get it, how we're going to go about getting it, how we're going to find it. Think about the old gold miners, panhandlers, and prospectors of the Old West. I love the old black and white Lone Ranger. And I like, what was the other one? Hopalong Cassidy and all that. And you know what? The love of gold and silver wrote many an episode. Not only that, them shows, but to other ones. Think about it. Those old-time miners, they would leave home, travel thousands of miles, give up things, their job, their friends, even leave family behind it sometimes because there was gold at Sutter's Mill. And then they would stay in the wilderness for days, weeks, and months on end, doing the same thing from daylight to dark. They would pick in that thing. They would take their pans and wash the water and do all that. Why? Why? They were expending an effort. They were expelling their values, valuables, all those things. And then when they found it, you'd have to kill them to get off of it because if not, if the Lone Ranger didn't come around or if Hopalong Cassidy didn't come around, then the bad guys would kill you and they would take over your claim. That was just the way it was. And then when they found it, they would sell off everything they had. And that's what Scripture, remember Scripture said, salvation, a relationship with Christ is like someone who finds a great treasure in the while they're playing a field and they go and sell everything they have just so that they could purchase that land. And that's what we see here for that knowledge of God. We've got to view it, that wisdom of God, we've got to view it as more valuable than anything else that this world could offer us. They would beg, borrow, and steal to be able to find the silver or the treasures that they had so that they could lay hold of the silver. That's the way we've got to do to obtain or to lay hold of the wisdom of God. The ability to have or to grasp or to know God is what the Father wants here. That's what He's saying. He's saying, hey, I want you to know me. I want you to have understanding of me because in the relationship and the knowing of me, then comes the knowledge of God. And remember, the knowledge of God leads to the fear of God and the fear of God leads to wisdom. But this is the way it's been. If you go all the way back to Genesis, Adam and Eve, what did God want? He wanted a relationship with humanity. He wanted a relationship with mankind. The same is true throughout the Old Testament. Ezekiel chapter 33, verses 10 through 11. And you, son of man, say to the house of Israel, thus have you said, surely our transgressions and our sins are upon us, and we rot away because of them. How can we live? Say to them, as I live, declares the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked would turn away from his way and live. Turn back from your evil ways, for why will you die, O house of Israel? What's he saying? Come to me. Have a relationship with me. Seek to know me. Seek to have knowledge of who I am. Same thing in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. That is good, and it is pleasing in the sight of God and our Creator, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of truth. So we see the Father saying, the ultimate idea in this passage is, there is a way to know God, to fear God, and to have wisdom. You're going to have to view it and search for it as it's fine gold or silver. Make a plan to get ahead of it. But then, remember what he said, he lays out those things. If you will receive what? If you will receive, number one, my commandments. If you will receive the commandments. What are the commandments? The commandments are the instructions of the Father. They're the commands of the Father. We know that the Old Testament is called the law, but we have those Ten Commandments. God is telling us, do this to be right in my eyes. But if you don't and you do the other, then you're not in my way. So he's saying, hey, receive or grasp hold of the commandments of God. I mean, that's some simple truth right there. But yet, the whole world seems to not understand it. If you do what God says is good, then there's a blessing in it. When you do what God said is bad, there are repercussions that are bad that goes along with it. So if we want to be wise, the first thing we need to do is recognize that God says this is right and this is wrong. And if we're going to be wise, we have to receive His commandments, His instructions. But notice, he goes on to say, he says also in verse 2, he says we need to listen to wisdom. Listen to wisdom. Now, if I'm listening to Brother Otis, what does that mean Brother Otis is doing? He's talking. That's exactly right. For me to be listening, somebody got to be talking. Hey, what do we call the Bible? It's the blank of God. The Word of God. We have to listen to Scripture. We have to listen to His writings. We have to listen to His precepts. Not only just recognize and receive His commandments. Now, because remember, just knowing them ain't one thing. Not only we're to understand or we're to accept His Word at what it is, and that is the truth that is there. But then notice what He says. He says, direct your heart, verse 2 again, direct your heart to understanding. Now, if, think about when Brother Ken is up here and he's leading the choir. You know, sometimes he'll do it to us out there. You know, he'll do this right here. Now, we don't know what that means, or at least I don't. But to those who know what it means, you know what it is? It's called directing. It's giving instructions. Follow this time. And if he speeds up, that means you're to speed up. So what it is he is instructing or directing others on how to perform, right? Now, he says, direct your heart to understanding. Now, remember what understanding was. We already know what knowledge is. Knowledge is the commandments of God, and it's the Word of God. But now, we are to instruct our heart. Remember what we said the heart was? It's the command center of the human soul, of the human being. It's our internal command center. And sometimes we're controlled by our emotions, right? And we let our emotions instruct us on what to do and how to do. Other times we're instructed on instinct. We don't know what to do, but this, if others in this situation, this is what they did and they did. He's saying you've got to instruct your heart to do what is in those scriptures, what are in those commandments. Because your heart doesn't naturally do it. Your heart doesn't naturally do it. The Bible teaches us that the heart is wicked above all things. Right? So it's against human nature. It's against, many times, our emotions. And so we have to direct it, or we have to instruct it, or we have to guide it in doing what is right in God's eyes. Notice it says here, and this is one I couldn't find much writing on this, but it says, call out for insight. Insight is basically being able to see what is right in the situation. You know, sometimes We're living in a world where they try to make a lot of things that are black and a lot of things that are white, they try to make it gray. You know what I'm saying? They try to make it where you can't kindly... So the idea here is to discern. Remember, we use that word, the ability to recognize the situation, to understand the situation and the circumstances, and then to be able to act in the right way. Call out for insight. Not what we feel like doing or what we want to do is what's needed in every situation. You notice you come up on an accident. When you come up on an accident, lots of times if somebody's hurt, we don't want to look at it, do we? We don't want to see the blood. We don't want to see the brokenness. But is that the best thing for us to do at that time? No. You make yourself go in there, wrap it up, tie it up, pick it up, do whatever. Why? Because you have to... insight in that situation. This may not be what I want to do, but this is what's needed to do in this situation. And then lastly, it says, lift up your voices in understanding. Often we speak before we think, especially when it comes to a loved one or something like that. You know, if I came to you today, and we've seen some situations like this recently, if I came to you today and I told you that one of your relatives have got locked up and they got put away for such and such. Now, most of us, just out of family relations, say, well, that ain't right. I don't want him to be in there. I don't want her to be in there. They shouldn't be in there. But maybe they should. You know that? I mean, if they broke the law, they hurt somebody. But what will we do? We'll speak up just because of relationship. We'll speak up just because of emotion. We'll do something because of emotions and the way we relate to them. We'll say things that maybe aren't the right thing to say, but we'll do it out of love, we'll do it out of friendship, we'll do it out of this and that. You see, instead we're to be led, the things that we do, the things that, what we're seeing here is the things that we think, the things that we do, and the things that we say have to be guided by God's truth. The commandments. Listening to wisdom. This is wisdom. This is wisdom. And in doing so, and we hold fast to Him, then what will we do? We'll begin to understand the knowledge and the fear of the Lord. That's the whole point of this first passage. And the Father is saying, hey, if you want what I say here in verse 5, the fear and the knowledge and wisdom of God, then listen to the commands. Listen to His word. Pray for movement and understanding. Pray to be able to recognize the situation and what to do in the right situation. All these things that we're to do here. Okay, so now we move over into verses 6 through 9. Now I think verse 6 here, for the Lord gives wisdom, out of His mouth comes knowledge and understanding. I think that is a standalone verse right there. I think that one can kindly stand alone because that's just what we studied about. Remember, the commandments and the listen to the instruction there in verse 2, I think it is. Climb thine ear to wisdom. You know, God is speaking knowledge. God is speaking understanding. From Him we are given wisdom. But notice what it says. He says, He stores up success for the right. He is a shield for those who live with integrity, so that He may guard the path of the just and protect the way of the faithful follower. Then you will understand righteousness, justice, and integrity, every good path. Now, notice there in verse 5, it says that God, He stores up success for those that are upright or are in the way with Him. Now, here's the thing. We must always remember that God is focused on the spiritual and the eternal, right? So, how would you tonight define the success? Here's how most of us would define success if I hadn't said we're going to study on success. We would have defined it something like this. When we reach the highest position, when we make the most money, when we're the best at any given task. That is how we would define success, right? But how would God, who looks at not the temporal, but the eternal, not the man, not the earthly, but the spiritual, what would He define as successful? What do you think He would say successful is? I think that He would say that Successfulness is being found in His way. Being found in a relationship with Him. Being found doing what God would have you to do. I think that that's what He would call successful. Has nothing to do with the position. Has nothing to do with the money. Has nothing to do with anything like that. It all has to do in our relation to who He is. Right? And so, now we have a different knowledge, right? First, we had an earthly knowledge, didn't we? Success is a higher position, higher money, all this, but not with God. It's being right with God, being found. So now we've got different knowledge, so now we ought to live our life differently. Notice it says that He stores up success. The word success there means completion of a task. The King James says lays up sound wisdom here. But basically he's saying that God supplies to us the ability to complete the task at hand. God gives to us, the upright, His children, the ability to accomplish what is needed. He goes on to say that He is a shield, or basically He is a protection, a security, and a safety to those who live with integrity. Where do we have that shield? That shield is Christ Jesus. He is protecting us. Christ Jesus is the way that we can complete the task. Matter of fact, already the task has been completed because of Him. And then it goes on to say, for those who live with integrity. Integrity means that we are basically in complete alignment with Him, publicly and privately. It doesn't matter. No matter what's going on, we are living rightly with Him. So, Christ Jesus, He supplies wisdom. Or what does it say there in verse 6? For the Lord giveth wisdom, and out of His mouth cometh the understanding. He lays up sound wisdom for His righteous. Or basically, He gives the completion for the task for the upright. And He is the shield for those who are right with Him. So therein we are successful because of Christ Jesus. Remember, Christ said that I am the way, the truth, and the life. And then in verse 8, notice what it says. So that He may guard the path of the just. That means that the judgment, that it is the settling of a long legal dispute. He's saying that the long legal dispute has been settled, or He's put a guard. He's made sure that our legal dispute has been handled. And it says that He protects the way of His followers. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So we have all that. Remember, the wisdom is not a standalone thing. We have to have the fear and the relationship or the knowledge of God. With that comes the wisdom. There is no way to have true wisdom without having a relationship with the Father. In verse 9 it says, then you will understand righteousness, justice, and integrity, every good path. So let's stop and think for a moment. When we started there in verse 7, talking about success and what it was, we had a different definition for success. And it probably wasn't the same as the Lord. But just because in that place, now we understand what God calls success. This should affect the way that we live. If God says a successful life is a life that has a relationship with me, that's found in a right lifestyle with me, that has a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, then guess what? That's a successful lifestyle, no matter what the world says. As Christians, we now have the knowledge that our spiritual legal dispute has been settled by Christ Jesus. What does that mean? That means we can live our lives a different way. We can live for the glory of the Lord without having to fear. Why? Because He is our shield. He is our way. All of that has been protected. We've been protected through that. We're successful because Christ makes us successful. We are Christians so that our way has been protected. We know that we can live and go and that we're under His wing. And then we also have the knowledge of what real integrity is. That's in public or in private, doing what is right in the eyes of God. So think about those things. Specifically the idea of success. What we thought was success now has been changed to what God would say success was. And so now that we have the knowledge of what God says success is, we can understand that if we live to glorify God, then that is a successful lifestyle. And then he says the last part, that we can understand or we can know the righteousness or the right way, what justice is, what his integrity is, every good path. When we know what's right in God's eyes, then we're able to see the right action, and that's to take us down the right path. Meaning, basically, the right action is walking in the path that God would have you to walk in. That's that right action. And so, I'm going to stop right there because we didn't get it to three. But I'll give you this. The basic topic of verses 10 through 15, the basic truth there is verse 12. It, what do you think it is? Wisdom. It will rescue you from all, from the evil way. Praise God, don't we need that today? We need to be rescued from the evil way. Before that, you see how it's going to benefit you in your inner being. And then after that, you'll see how it's going to benefit you by keeping you away from evildoers and all that. If you'll notice, it's going to give you, what does it say there? It's going to give you joy. I think it's what it says there in the first verse, verse 10. But just take you some time and study those scriptures and depend on your relationship with Christ. And that's what I'm beginning to understand. When I open up scriptures, I don't need to go in there with anything that Brian thought already. You know what I mean? Just let the Spirit teach me. And I'm not saying that you shouldn't read behind other men. God has given us them other men. You know what I mean? God has given them wisdom and he's given them understanding. But be careful who you read behind. Be very careful who you read behind. Because even men that I agree with 100% on one topic, I don't on another topic. Does that mean I shouldn't read them? No, that doesn't mean I shouldn't read them. That means I'm just to recognize that man is fallible and that I'm to trust God and let him lead it in. I love to study. And so that's what I do. I know I ain't good at explaining it, but we'll, if nothing else, you know I'm studying. Any other thoughts before we close up tonight? All righty. Brother Otis, if you would, come close us out in a word of prayer tonight, and we'll see y'all. Oh, do pray. I don't know how they're going to be doing it as Brother Otis comes. But Saturday they are going to be doing some type of graduation. And I always think after prom and after graduation are two of the most dangerous nights for our high schoolers. And so pray that God's hand of protection, safety, and ultimately wisdom be on them, because we don't want any tragedies or anything like that for our Rykov or any young man or woman. Brother.
Let's pray. Father God, we just thank you for this teaching, this experience we're going through with the Proverbs. Every day when we read through them, every day through the month of the year, they all give us each one gives us a day. Seven is the seventh day of the week, a month. And that gives us readings all the time to go through the Proverbs and pick up bits and pieces. Sometimes you go back and the next time you read it, the next month, you find something you didn't even see before, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
And that's how your word is. It speaks differently to us every time we read it, depending upon our mindset and circumstances we're in. Lord, that's how your Holy Spirit speaks to us as well. You're always there. Your word is always there, and we just thank you for it. We pray, Lord, for the needs of our church family. We pray, Lord, for especially for Eddie Hood.
Yes, Lord.
And for Brother Kent Smith, Nolan Hensley, all those men are in dire need of circumstances they're in, prayer and uplifting, and just your Holy Spirit encouraging them every day. We just pray, Lord, that you'd intervene in Brother Eddie's situation. He's such a loving, kind person, and we just We just love him, and we know you love him even more because you died for him. You died for me. You tell us that you died for all. But, Father, we just have those on our hearts as well as many others. We pray for our graduates as they go out into life and seek jobs and places to make a nest for their life. And we just, Lord, we just pray especially for the closeness and the love that they've shared with us through the church and we shared with them. And we just ask you to go with all of us, guide us and keep us safe through your spirit and your watch care. And we love you because you first loved us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Love y'all. Hey, we can be in Rome.